Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. To whom can we go but to the one who said, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to the last worker as I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge me of my generosity?" So the last will be first, and the first last. Our text from St. Matthew's Gospel. You may be seated. Where's your focus in life? Where's your focus? I ask that question thinking of people in the categories of the glass half full and the glass half empty kind of people. Are you the sort of person who focuses more on what you do have, or do you focus more time and energy on thinking about what you don't have? I think for most of us, at least in some areas of life, it's the don't have. We do this, of course, with things. Things like cell phones, snowboards, cars, whatever it is you've been eyeing lately. Sure, what I have already is fine, but you know, I'd really, really be happier with a new one, with the latest model. We do it with people, too. We have friends, but maybe our friends don't have all the connections we want. And yes, my spouse is lovely, but why can't he or she be more like that other person in certain ways, that person who comes to mind? We even do it with churches. Pastors do it, members do it. I just wish the church had X, Y, or Z, like that other church, the one with the bigger building, the better organ, the different people, more programs, whatever it is. Now, of course, the real problem isn't with our things or our people or our church. The real problem is the mindset. You know what happens when we focus too much on what we don't have rather than on what we do have. We grumble. We complain. We become discontented. Even if what we have is perfectly fine, we want the other. And so instead of thanking our Heavenly Father for His goodness and generosity, instead of thanking God for the way that He blesses us and provides for us, we become like the first workers in today's parable. We look at what others have been given, and we get upset, jealous, angry at them and at God. Instead of loving our neighbors and rejoicing with them in the good things they have, we hate them. Instead of trusting God and loving the generosity that He shows, we accuse Him of being unfair and of not giving us what we deserve. Now, I know when it comes to things, our temptation is to say, and people even, our temptation is to say that the real problem is advertising or the entertainment industry or the consumer culture. And those things aren't great. They don't help us with these desires, but those are just the symptoms. You know, advertising and entertainment industry and the consumer culture, they just play to the market. And the market is us. They play to the reality that we so often want what we don't have. They don't make us like this. We were born this way. We come by it naturally, which is not to be used as an excuse. This way of thinking goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. Think about what the serpent did in the Garden of Eden. He introduced to Adam and Eve this mindset when he got them to be dissatisfied with paradise. With paradise, of all things. I mean, at least we would say, if I had that, I'd be content. But would we? Because the serpent found a way to turn their focus away from everything that they had to the one thing of which God said, "Not yours. And their hearts said, well, God's wrong. We deserve that too. And so they took it. And we've been wanting what we don't have ever since. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with them for a denarius a day, a day's wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Think about those workers. At 6 a.m., when they're out looking for work, the master of the vineyard comes and he says, I've got a job for you, and I'll pay you a full day's wage. I mean, they must have been pretty happy fellows. Already by 6 a.m., they know where they're going for the day, they've got good and useful work to do, and they've got the promise of a day's wage at the end, waiting for them. So they're happy to work, they're happy with their pay, they're happy with the thought of going home at the day's end, they're happy until they get to the end of the day. Until the master messes it all up by hiring more workers later in the day to work 9 hours or 6 hours or 3 hours or just 1 hour. And then when it comes time to pay them, he pays them all exactly the same. I mean, they were happy, I think, up until that very moment. When they watch the other workers being paid, they're realizing he's paying a denarius an hour, or a denarius 3 hours at least. And then they get a denarius for a day. The nerve of that master to pay all of them exactly the same at quitting time. And suddenly what started out as a day of happiness and contentment ends in bitterness and resentment. How often are we happy with the things we have until suddenly we encounter something different? And then we are bitter and discontent. That's not right! The master's wrong. But is he? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord. My ways are not your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Our ways, the ways of the world, are the law. Our ways are, you've got to earn it. You get what you deserve. But his ways are different. For the way of the Lord is the way of gift and of grace. He's gracious and merciful. He has a good and generous eye. Not an eye that looks with evil intent. And he gives more, and he gives better than what is deserved, better than what is earned. And that can be tough to stomach. At least for those who are conscientious workers, those who put in a full day in the field, they find that tough to stomach. And here's where the rubber meets the road for us, not only with earthly and physical gifts, but when we think of spiritual gifts. Should the deathbed convert get the same as us? What about the Nazi leader condemned in the Nuremberg trials who repented and trusted in Christ before his execution? Should he get the same? That's not fair, we say. Or maybe with a little envy, isn't that convenient? To idle away a lifetime in evil and then slip in at the very end. It doesn't seem right for the one called to the vineyard at the last hour, in the last minute, to receive the same gift of heaven as those of us who've been at it longer, maybe for our whole lives. And you know, there's part of us that doesn't like it. That's not right, we want to protest. God is wrong. To which Jesus replies, Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? Is your eye evil because my eye is good? Who are you or I to tell Jesus what to do with his gifts? Would you require that Jesus run every gift of grace that he plans through the legal department first? Would you make the Lord accountable to you for his grace? Before you get too generous, Jesus, just check with me, and I'll let you know. Dear friends, repent. Repent of that mindset. Repent of that mindset that despises God and his gifts. Of the mindset that demands everyone else get what they deserve from God. Of the mindset that thinks we've done better. We've earned more. We've deserved something greater. We're more righteous than them. As if we have the right to walk up to God and say, "See, you let that guy in. See, you owe me more." Do you really want to play it that way? Really? I mean, if the wages of sin is death, then what does that mean for us? And of all people, for us, who so regularly hear God's word and receive his gifts, we should know better. We who hear the Lord's word and receive his forgiveness every week, and yet sometimes turn around and go back to our sin again. The anger that we just can't keep down, that burning lust that keeps returning, our mountainous pride, our coiling nature that puts the focus on me and makes everyone else be out of focus. What exactly do we think God owes us anyway? If it's live by the law, if it's get what you deserve, then we're all condemned. Then it's the 11th hour for every single one of us. And we know we don't deserve it. It's like every week is a deathbed conversion, and every conversion is a deathbed conversion, because all repentance is done from the deathbed of sin. There's none of us that are doing pretty well, and we can say, you know, I'm going to repent of just that little bit because I'm like 90% good. I just need to repent of that 10% bad. No, our prayer is this. O Lord, hear our plea. O Jesus, have mercy on me, a poor, pitiful sinner. Don't give me what I deserve. Give me what I don't deserve. Instead of the wages of eternal death, please grant the gift of eternal life. His ways are not our ways, and thank God for that. His way was to go into the vineyard early, to go before anyone else had gone, to work as no one else had ever worked. And when our Lord went into the vineyard early, it only took until the third hour of the day, 9 o'clock in the morning, before he was being hung up on a cross. And it was by the sixth hour of the day that darkness descended over the whole land while the scorching heat of hell was on him. And then at the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when a lot of us were still idle, waiting for work, he called out, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me?" And in those words we hear, our earned, our deserved, our wages. Is he not allowed to do what he chooses with what belongs to him? With his own life, his own body, his own blood? Or do you begrudge him his generosity in taking what we deserve and giving us what is his? It was our death sentence nailed over his head. You want to talk about not fair? That's it. Not fair, but good and gracious and generous to you and to me. And so what do we get now? We don't get the wages of sin, but we get the wages of his precious work. We get a cup filled not with God's justice and wrath, but with life and salvation, the forgiveness of sins in the blood of Jesus. A blood that is not dead, but living. Because when the third day dawned, our Lord rose again. alive in his body. The master of the vineyard came to pay out the wages of the work he had done. And so he gives to you today the wages of what he earned, his life to give us life, his life in the forgiveness of your sins, his life generous and abundant and infinite, even at this late hour. For in him, dear friend, you have life, life abundantly. And if he would give that to you, can you begrudge it to another? And is Jesus really being more generous with others than he is with us? I mean, think about it. With us, his generosity, having washed us with the forgiveness of sins and adopted us as sons in holy baptism, his generosity in declaring to us the forgiveness of sins anew every single week, his generosity in offering to us from this altar, this table, his true body and blood again and again and again, and never tiring of giving us more. We live in the pasture of the Good Shepherd. We live in the safety and security of his fold. We have the privilege of prayer. We have the confidence of our Lord's promises. We have our Lord's word close at hand, and we see his work in the world. We come to his house every week, shoulder to shoulder with other brothers and sisters in Christ with whom we share the faith and sing his praise. Do we really think that those who come at the end are receiving more than us? What more could Jesus give than he has already given and continues to give? Dear friends, there is nothing your Lord is withholding from you. Let your focus this day, your mindset be not on other things that you wish you had, but on the things that he has for you, on the gifts that he gives, on the cup that is way more than half full. For all that he has and all that he is yours in Christ Jesus. And he simply bids you come. Whether early or late, whether young or old, whether new to the faith or lifelong, come and receive his gifts. Come and rejoice in his goodness and generosity. Come, whether life is going great or going poorly. Come, for Jesus is calling you to his life, calling you to receive his wages. So come, dear friend. Come and live. In Jesus' name.